This is Jack Vickers, and you are listening to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, also known as The Hood.
It is Saturday, August 26, 2023, 8 a.m., also known as Draft Day for us here in the Hood Pod, Redraft League, the League of Record, whatever you want to call it, for this podcast. The whole reason this podcast exists is our Hood Redraft League. But hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of your lovely hosts, is the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by our other lovely hostess, the Joshua Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folk out there.
Folk.
Proud of you. We appreciate everyone who chats along with us in Discord. Discord has started to pop. We are starting to see the initial season bump. Everyone has been antsy and raring to go, and it is now time for football, and so everyone's excited. Even Eric's is in here. We have an Eric sighting this morning. Hello, Latvia. Hope you're doing well. Hope the Ukrainian war isn't devastating your region yet. But yeah, so we appreciate everyone who chats along in our Discord. Voicemail, the Anchor isn't really a thing anymore. You can leave us you can just send me a voicemail direct via Discord message. You can do voice messages via Discord. So we appreciate people who do that, though, you know, it has dropped off and we've almost kind of stopped asking. So it is what it is, but we appreciate everyone who participates with us, and it's pretty much all through Discord. So that's that, and we appreciate at Levi Oki Illustration. Shout out to Levi. Levi needs some love. We appreciate him, and we appreciate everything he's done for the podcast since our inception. So that's that. Josh, ha, ye, dern.
Dern!
Did you do an extra special dern? One for Walters there, or what?
No, that was for Mika.
Oh, okay. When he listens later. Although he's less interested in the NFC than the AFC, for sure. I'm
Why?
Doing
he
good.
Needs to know who's going to beat him in the Super Bowl.
I'm doing good, Josh. While I continue my answer here... right away to the hard stuff. Anything for you, Eric's. Josh, I will remind you, while I say how I'm doing and then get into asking you a question, you might want to bring up your thing from last year so you can tell the people how you predicted for the NFC from last year. If you don't already have that up, not saying you wouldn't already have it up. You're such a responsible podcaster, but a reminder to have that open. But I'm doing good, Josh. I do love myself a good draft day. I do like to have a draft day ritual or so. I can't do it for every single draft in every league because it would get to be too much because I'm in like fucking 9 leagues now. And I added another league this year because I'm a masochist, but... I do love to go out for a nice good brekkie. Walters got to experience it last week. Went out to Hooties. I usually just do that for the Hidden Oaks leagues. Oh my god. I usually just go out to the Hidden Oaks or go out for the Hidden Oaks leagues, but I did it for the Champions League last week. So went out to nice Hooties for a nice little breakfast or noon fist, depending on the timing. Today might be more of a noon fist, but get myself some French toast or maybe get myself an Amigo omelet. That's kind of my draft day ritual. And I say all that to bring that back the question to you, Josh. Do you have yourself a bit of a draft day ritual? You know, you're not in as many leagues as me, but you're still in like 5 leagues. Some of your leagues are older than others. Is there anything you like to do on draft days? Any superstition or just rituals you like to be like, hey, it's draft day. Let's have some fun. Let's do a little celebration. Or are you just too cool for school?
Yeah, Walter's nailed it right on the head. I like to, on draft day, I like to actually start looking at who's in the NFL still and who's not. And so I'll probably take a gander at some things and maybe do some last minute stretching just so I don't pull a muscle as I run up to the board to snag a pick that I know is a steal. I also like to kind of plan my victory speech for when I do win the trophy at the end of the season. I'm not in 10 leagues like you are. I am in 3 dynasty leagues. And so that to me, I treat that more like best ball. With very little movement throughout the season, unless, you know, something happens. Just because I am such a solid drafter and manager in the offseason, I don't need to do too much in-season management. When it comes down to, like, redraft, I'm in the Champions League, which is a new environment for me. But then I have this draft for the Hood, and then I have the draft with VS coming up here on whenever that is. I don't know. And so those are kind of my only things. I'm going to refrain from any of the guillotine leagues this year, just cause I do feel like 6
what?
Leagues, 7 leagues is a tad hairy for me. I was happy last season when I had, 4 or 5 and then, so I'm okay with where I'm at now. As far as other rituals go, I like to go back and read all of the stats from 1991 football all the way till now, just so I get an idea as to the trends. having a photographic memory or remembering things from. Yeah, so it's you know, I enjoy looking at the history of everything, and obviously I like to polish the trophies I've won over the years.
All right, well, Josh, we love that for you. We love that. And so wait, weren't you in Brad, just as a matter of housekeeping, on air production meeting, so weren't you in Brad's Guillotine League last year? So do we need to fill another spot? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I hadn't heard anything about it, so I just assumed that it died.
No, I mean, I'm trying to make Brad be in charge of it. We'll see if that ends up happening. But assuming the league's coming back, you're out then, is what I'm hearing. Which is fine. Yeah. Okay. All right, so both Nikita and Josh are out of that, so we'll have two open spots, which I think are already filled, coincidentally. But, all right, that's good to know. Appreciate you saying that, Josh. Anyways, anything else you want to talk about for... No, not right now. Certainly not right now, Walters. We didn't even do like a review of the BSB league this year, so we're really slacking. Fuck all these other leagues, right? Any other draft day stuff you like to do, Josh? Anything you like to stick to for? Do you like to, without beer sheets? Have you found your, you know, you've already used Football Absurdity last weekend? Any alternatives for beer sheets? Or are you just going to go with the top 200 list and say fuck it, or what? Are you creating your own?
I'll probably use last year's beer sheets.
It might not go too bad for you. All right. Well, we will see you here this afternoon at my dad's palatial estate. Appreciate you coming out. Moving into our agenda for the day, Josh, the 272, the NFC. We are here to talk about that. And, you know, first, we'll give you guys a little grain of salt. As we do predict all 272 games, regular season games, every year, we want to let you know how good we are. Josh, it shouldn't shock too many people that, at least for me, last year, my best division in the NFC was the NFC North. We are most, we are most familiar with our boys in blue and our staunch division rivals. I did the best with the NFC North last year. My second best division was actually tied. Tied for second, the NFC South and the NFC East. Not nearly as good as the NFC North, but I was about 13 and 11 games off there. How's that tied? I don't know. Anyways, because of ties. That's why they were off. Interesting. Okay. Anyways, so the NFC North, NFC South, the NFC South, NFC East, I was okay on, and then the NFC West, I just fucking completely whiffed on that one, mainly because the Rams and the Arizona Cardinals tanked their seasons last year, and the Seahawks overperformed, so the NFC West was really rough for me last year, but that's kind of how I did roughly. Looks like my best team was the Detroit Lions. I got them exactly right, and one of my worst teams last year in the NFC was Philadelphia. Didn't expect them popping off as much as they did, and then, like I said, the Rams and the Cardinals really tanking their season. I did not see that one coming. Josh, how'd you do in the NFC last year?
Well, I actually got, I alluded to it last week, the NFC South was my best.
Just gave them all F's.
I did, actually, and so they were my best last year, over 50% in all of those teams. My next best was the NFC East because they also all stink except for one or two teams. I had, you know, I got 82% of Dallas's games correct, just because, you know, I'm very familiar with the Big Mike and his footballing. Giants were the big surprise, but then Philadelphia was the lead team that I got wrong the most. Going to the NFC North, that was my third best. Green Bay was my worst prediction because I had homer eyes probably through all of it, and I predicted another 13 win season, which didn't happen. Detroit was my best team in NFC North because Detroit. And my worst league was my worst was NFC West, similar to you, with Arizona tanking, the Rams tanking, and then Seattle overperforming. But yeah, so that was kind of a brief overview of all of mine. Gar, love you.
Thanks. I don't know what that was coming from. Hope Josh isn't dying of some sort of illness, but I love you too, Josh. I would like to let the record show, since Walter's brought up in the chat and whatever else, I actually I didn't have the Giants going playoff good, but I had the Giants going 8-9 last year. And if I'm looking at this right, do the Giants have a tie? I was only either a game or two games or a game and a half off of the Giants last year, so I knew the Giants were going to be a team to be reckoned with, let the record show. So, you know, some people can call things and some people can't, but I knew the Giants were going to be better than most people had them last year. And if we were a well-produced show, a well-resourced show, I could have someone go pull the clip and play it to prove it, but we're not. So you'll just have to take my word for it. But I knew the Giants were coming last year is all I'm saying. So maybe perk up when you listen to Gar, because Gar can call some things. Anywho,
yeah, I was actually pretty spot on with them too. I had them going 2-15.
Just you had a lot of faith in the Dandy Dimes, eh?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, Josh, I can go first this time if you'd like, but are you ready to get in our 2023 Walters? Ugh, maybe someday. Are you ready to get into our 2023-2024 predictions, Josh? Anything else you'd like to say before we hop right into these?
Let's go.
All righty. We're going alphabetical through all the NFC teams. So we start in the NFC West with the Arizona Cardinals. Josh, most people have no faith in Arizona Cardinals. They just traded for Josh Dobbs. They've traded away two of their, I don't know if better players is the right word, but they've traded away two other players recently. One insider referred to it as a fire sale. CBS had them at the lowest win count of 4.5. CBS, aka maybe they're translating Vegas line, but I take the over just half a game. I gave the Cardinals one more win, or half a win. I have them going 5-12. I assume they'll take a slow start and Kyler takes the whole year off. I don't think Kyler's going to play a snap of football this year, so no real offense production, no real defense production. I have them power ranked 28, so I don't have them as my worst team because I think next year they'll have plenty of pieces to be able to bounce back just fine, but this year is not their year, so I have them going 5-12, just winning enough games to not give them the first overall pick. Josh, what do you think the Cardinals are doing?
I'm on the same belief that they're trash. I have them going, they're my this year's Giants. I have them going 2-15. The only thing different than last year's Giants is they're not going to win games and get into the playoffs. Kyler's out, Hopkins is gone. If James Conner's your starting running back, you're not going to have a good time. Plus, they're in a tough division, and so they're going to struggle. I have them going 2-15. Kyler's probably going to sit out playing the new COD, even though it's the same COD as the last 10 generations. They're my power rank 32. Moving on to
what's happening.
Moving on to the next team, we have Atlanta. I have them going 8-9. I mean, they have the benefit of playing Tampa Bay and Carolina twice. Carolina's they're probably going to split the series with. I think that Carolina's better than a lot of people give them credit for, but they are starting a rookie quarterback and not necessarily the best. So 8-9, they're my power rank 22. They have a lot of fun weapons. Bijan Robinson, I think, is going to be a stud, but I don't think it's going to be, it's not a running back league. They're not able to carry teams to a 10-win season.
Sure. Desmond Ridder, I guess, he's not a rookie anymore, but I know what you mean. It looks like the CPS/Vegas line is at 8.5 wins for the Atlanta Falcons. So you're just barely taking the under. You're kind of right with the predictions. I'm going a little bit lower. Similar to the Cardinals, I have the Atlanta Falcons going 5-12 as well. I agree with you. They have many exciting weapons, but I don't think Ridder is enough to carry it all. And I could be proven wrong. This is one of the worst teams in the league for me. I have them power rank lower than the Cardinals even. I have the Atlanta Falcons power rank 29. So not a lot of faith. This is one of our bigger differences of the day. Not top three, but our fourth biggest difference of the day. You have them having 8 wins. I have them with only 5 wins. But our power rankings, we see a bit of a difference there. So moving on. Staying in the NFC South, we are going on to the Carolina Panthers. They traded for the first overall pick, got themselves a nice little Bryce Young. The CBS/Vegas line is at 7.5 wins. I have them going 4-13. I say Bryce can be the future, but not the present. Unsure on Reich these days. We just saw Reich get marched out of town in Indy. Obviously very familiar with that because we like to watch Pat and all these other things. So, maybe Reich turns it around. He obviously had plenty of success in Philly, but then not as much in Indy, and maybe it was tough because he never had his quarterback in Indy. Right, could be just as fine with Brees. I'm just not seeing it this year. I think they kind of haphazardly put a team together. They're pulling in Adam Thielens and traded away DJ Moore and all these things. Bryce Young is a very exciting quarterback. I would be floored if the Vikings could have Bryce Young, but I just don't think this is the year for the Panthers. Maybe watch for them in 24, but I have them power rank number 31. Second to worst team this year for me is the Carolina Panthers. Josh, what are you thinking for the Panthers?
Yeah, I have them going 5-12. I think, one more win than you have. They're obviously rebuilding, but I think that, and they have a young team, but I think that they catch a groove later in the season once Bryce gets, maybe he'll hit his puberty and get a little bit of a growth spurt in. But I do think that, 5-12 as they're rebuilding, they did trade away some pieces last year, but they still managed to make it work with the team they have. They brought in Miles Sanders, so when he gets hurt week 3, they might have been 2-1 at that point, but I doubt it. I think that they had a good little stable of running backs last season that kind of kept them in the mix as far as fresh legs go once they traded CMC. But 5-12, like you said, I think that the future is bright with what they have. But I do think that this season is going to be a little bit more of a let's see what we got. They are my power rank 27. Moving on to the team in our division that is a laughing stock the last, well, since 85. We've got the Chicago Bears.
Since 86, Josh, please. Let them have 85.
I guess. I have them going 7-10, which is probably either 3 wins too many or 3 wins too less, depending on who you ask. 7-10, they have the most valuable preseason hype. Justin Fields has won the MVP for the 2023-2024 season, if you believe everybody that's been talking. But at the same time, he hasn't thrown a pass this season. So we'll see how it goes. We haven't seen a running back win the MVP since AP, I believe. Yeah, that's exactly what I need to hear from Walters in order to know my prediction is a little bit correct. I probably am going to change it to 4-13 now. Walters, I don't believe the Bears are that legit. DJ Moore is a stud. Their defense is okay. But they are Chicago. I just don't see it happening. are my power rank 23.
Excellent. Well, they're also my power rank 23, so we agree right there. Josh, you and I are almost creating the line here. You have them at 7 wins. I have them at 8 wins, and the Vegas CBS line is at 7.5, so we're right there with them. I have my notes here say Fields can run around anywhere he wants except the playoffs, so I do think there will be some exciting plays. I mean, their preseason hype so far has been Justin Fields throwing a little dunk screen pass and a little something else. You know, I don't believe there's been any big bombs out of Justin Fields in the preseason. I'm not going quite as strong as Josh, saying Justin Fields is incapable of throwing the football. I don't believe that. It'll be interesting to see how much chemistry and how much on-field production him and DJ Moore can have now that he has kind of a true one, but it's really kind of a team that's kind of filled with wide receiver twos, in my opinion, with Mooney and Claypool and all these other things. Is DJ Moore a true 1-1? That's yet to be determined, but he certainly could be. They're not making the playoffs for me this year. I have them going 8-9, right in the bubble. Could they be a rising stock? We'll see. But they're not doing anything especially special this year. Moving on to Dallas. Josh, we always disagree on this one every year just because you dislike Dallas. And I usually give them a little bit more respect to put them in the playoffs. The CBS Vegas line has them at 9.5. I gave them nine wins. I have them going 9-8. They got a new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore's at, and I forget who's in, but Big Mike, is he calling the plays? I forget. Anyways, Big Mike, he made a change because Kellen Moore was passing a little bit too much. Big Mike's seat is hot, I believe, and they're in the playoffs because the NFC is pretty weak, or at least pretty top-heavy, whatever you want to call it. A couple good teams, and then not so much underneath them. So I have Dallas in the playoffs at 9-8. Not saying they're impressive. That's just kind of how my board fell. Not a lot of NFC teams to brag about. But I have them power rank 14, so top half of the league. But like I said, Josh, this is our biggest difference in power ranking of the day. So why do you? Well, go ahead and tell me why the Dallas Cowboys stank.
Well, I've seen this saga before. This saga's played out years ago in Green Bay with Big Mike. You have a solid first season. You have a solid second season. You make the playoffs. You make some noise. Maybe not in the playoffs because it's Dallas.
Big Dallas Mike, went 12-5 last year.
Yeah, well, Green Bay, they were Super Bowl favorites the year he got fired. So Big Mike, he's lost his juice. He's out there. He's already looking at barbecue joints on the West Coast for his next coaching job. I have him going 6-11. I don't think Dak is it. He led the league in turnovers last season. I don't know if he got LASIK this offseason and went the Jameis route, or if he's going to be there teaching Trey Lance, hey, you just throw the ball. Someone catches it. Doesn't matter what jersey they're wearing. Dallas 6-11. Tony Pollard isn't a between the tackles runner, so who knows how that goes. I do think he is a good running back. I just don't think that he has I don't think that he's going to be a bell cow. So it's going to be a lot of figuring out how to handle that whole thing. CeeDee Lamb is solid. I will say that. So, they do have that opportunity, but I'm not a believer this year. And yeah, I know I've said that for the last 6-7 years, but what have they done? They haven't done much in the playoffs. So that I could have predicted a 1-16 season. If they don't win in the playoffs, it's a win for me. And so 6-11 is what I have. But that being said, they could go 9-8, 10-7. It's possible, but I doubt it.
All right. Well,
moving
Josh,
on to the team.
I just want to say you've been wrong before. Let's see if you're wrong again. Sorry. Go ahead.
Good one. Quit lying to the folks. Moving on to the team that I predicted on January 8th, 2023 to win the NFC North. I have the Detroit Lions going 10-7. 10 wins may get it for them this season. We watched them kind of turn things around last season. They had a solid draft this year. It's all eyes on Jared Goff and whether or not he's able to repeat what he did last year. But they do have a solid team in play. So I have them going 10-7, power rank 12. And so they're, you know, definitely a playoff team in my eyes. And I do agree with your take, actually, for this one. So or at least the first part and sure. The second part, not the third part. Okay. Maybe the third part. But yeah, Gar, tell me what you think of Detroit.
Well, Josh, you and I are right there in agreement. We both have them 10-7. Our power rank is the exact same as well at 12. So we have them in the top half of the league. We both have them winning the NFC North. We both have the over on the Vegas CBS line at 9.5. I say that Detroit Lions will be playing Minnesota for the division in Week 18. The Vikings and the Lions play Week 18. I believe it will be for the division. And I say the Detroit wins the NFC North, but they will be one and done in the playoffs. They're going to be an exciting bunch. Last year, they're off. Offense was amazing, but their defense couldn't do anything. That's kind of what held them back. I think they'll be slightly better this year. Spoiler for our fantasy predictions podcast, I think Jared Goff will be explosive this year. He has, you know, another weapon to add to his repertoire with Jahmyr Gibbs. So I think that offense should still be nice and humming. I think MCDC's up to something out there. Not enough up to something to win, you know, playoff games or win a Super Bowl, but I think they'll win the North. They'll host a playoff game for the first time in who knows how long. And then, not do much after that. But shout out to the Detroit Lions. You know, we had them, at least I had them exactly right last year. And I'm a believer in MCDC, so until they prove me wrong, I'm going to keep giving their credit. They win the North. Good for them. Moving on, staying in the division, Josh, we're moving on to the Green Bay Packers, the now Green Bay Loves, if you will. The Vegas CBS line is at 7.5. I take the over just slightly. I'm giving them 8 wins. I have them going 8-9. I think Jordan Love does well, but their schedule, from what I remember seeing, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I remember the schedule's a little bit tough. I think we play some tougher out of divisions, and then you got to play the Vikings and the Lions twice. So, I mean, come on. So I'm saying maybe next year. I'm not going to sit here and be a complete Jordan Love or a Matt LaFleur hater, but I don't think this team's going for the playoffs. I think they come in third, if not fourth in the division. I have them power rank team number 21. But, Josh, this is your hometown team. Please take the floor.
Well, I have them going 9-8, so just one more win than you. Pain was the only note that I wrote down, just because it is the first year without Rodgers and as the starting quarterback entering the season for quite some time. Granted, you know, the first year that he was a starter, I think they went 6-10, so it wasn't the prettiest start. And then we watched 14-15 years of solid play after that. 9-8. I do think that they win games on the back of their defense at points during the season, and I do think that Jordan Love is going to be an okay quarterback. His rookie year, he's shown nothing but poise. There's been a lot of highlights coming out of camp and out of preseason of his play. Take that as you will, since it isn't the regular season and it's not against ones, as people will say. Dobbs, Watson, they should have taken steps forward. Jaden Reed looks like he's going to be a stud in the slot. And then, you know, they got their defense should only be getting better. And once they fire Joe Barry in week 10, they should kind of become the number one defense after that point. But yeah, 9-8, power rank 17, not a playoff team by any means, but you know, when the New York Jets play Rodgers 65% of the snaps and they go 1-16 and they get the first overall pick for Green Bay, that would be nice. Moving on to the Rams.
Well, hang on, Josh. I have a couple of questions for you. First, I mean, we got to spend a little bit of extra time on our you know, our homer teams. How many times do you think you'll be yelling this season, Josh?
God damn it!
How many of those do you think you'll throw out watching the Packers this year?
Half.
Half. All right, I like that. And then also, Josh, so I know we it came up in the pre-show. I don't think Eric's was here for it. Panic was here for it. Or maybe it was at the beginning of the show. But you've been a sober Sally, a sober Sam since last year's football playoffs. Not saying you're weak, not saying you don't have self-control, all these different things. Is it possible that the Packers could drive you to drink this fall? So you've enjoyed a good, 8 months or 7 months of sobriety so far? Do you think the Packers could be the thing that undoes the sobriety? Not to make a joke of it, but kind of a semi-serious question. How seriously do you take football?
Well, I am 230 days in, according to my phone ticker that I have set up for this.
All right. That's a lot of days. So,
I think that it's possible. If work hasn't gotten me to crack a bottle, then I don't think the Packers will. And so it's one of those things where they're more likely to have me walk out in the middle of Highway 10 and just kind of lay down in the crosswalk, take a nap.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different. They are, I mean, I have the expectation of pain going into the season. So at that point, you know, there's really, yes, I can be disappointed. I'm sure they'll find ways to disappoint me. But at the same time, I don't have lofty expectations like I have in the past. So it's not necessarily going to be a free fall if something does go wrong.
All right. Well, shout out, Josh. Shout out to the sobriety. We like a man who is trying to better his life for one reason or another. So I want to give you credit. Again, it was a semi-serious question, but also will the Packers be painful to watch question. So I appreciate your genuine answer there. But you are now welcome to move on to the Rams. Those were the two questions I had.
Yeah, so moving on to the Rams. I have them going 5-12. I think they're trash. Granted, Stafford should be healthy. Cooper Kupp should be healthy. They have Aaron Donald. I could be completely wrong. They could go 12-5. But I'm not sure I see it with their run game. Cooper Kupp's their only wide receiver too, because Van is a van. The team is essentially held together with popsicle sticks and scotch tape. That's what I wrote down, because that's kind of, they have three players of note that, you know, they have zero draft picks in the last 2 years, essentially. And so I have them going 5-12, one and a half games underneath the CBS line of 6.5. You seem to have them going a little bit better than I do, but they're my power rank 25.
Yeah, you alluded to it. I have them going 8-9. I do think Stafford will play more games than he did last year, so I'm just giving them some bump. But kind of what I wrote down here is this is going to be the Stafford and Aaron Donald, going on a retirement tour. Maybe even Sean McVay, we'll see. But this is a sunsetting team. They went all in. They got their bowl, so I give them all the credit in the world. You know, I'm sure plenty of fan bases, maybe the Vikings included, so plenty of fan bases that either haven't had a bowl or haven't had a bowl in a long time, they would give nothing more than for a team to go all in, give the fuck them picks approach, trade everything away to get all their studs in the building, go on a run, have a couple exciting years, win a bowl, and then just kind of, you know, fade back into obscurity. That's exactly what the Rams did. I don't believe the Rams are going to turn around. I think Sean McVay is an amazing coach. It just doesn't seem like Stafford has enough in the tank, and I don't think other guys like Donald and others are going to want to stick around. I think it says something that they let Baker Mayfield walk. I think that, you know, Stafford is probably going to be healthier this year than maybe people think, or maybe his elbow thing is like degenerative and, you know, he's just done. We'll see. But regardless, this is the sunsetting team. This is going to be a retirement tour for plenty of these players. Shout out to them. They got their bowl, but their time is over. I have them power rank 17. This is our third biggest difference of the day. You had them 25. I have them 17. But we both agree they're not going to the playoffs. So that's something to note there. Moving on here, Josh, the Minnesota Vikings. You know, most people were calling it last year. At one point, I did appreciate what Al was saying. He was like, who cares last year if this is a fluke or not? Let's just kind of enjoy it. And the Vikings somehow ripped off 13 wins and 4 losses. Defense was terrible, but also somehow won us plenty of games last year with either a fluke fumble in the Bills game or a couple sweet interceptions at the end of some other games. The defense had some big plays and some big moments, but I definitely think we outperformed what we were supposed to be last year. The CBS Vegas line is at 8.5. I took the over. I have us going 9-8. I have us in the mid card. We'll be in the playoffs as a wild card at 9-8. I believe we're the 7th seed. Sorry about that. I had something in my throat. But we're not going to be an exceptional team this year. We're certainly not going to rip off 13 wins. The difference between Vikings making the playoffs and Vikings missing the playoffs is Matt Daniels. I'm pretty sure that's his name. That's our special coordinator, our special teams coordinator. I said last year a lot, he was the best special teams coordinator in the league. And that's going to be the difference for us this year. If we have good punt teams, good kicking teams, that's going to be the difference. Our special teams will carry us. So shout out Matt Daniels. I have us power rank 16. The Vikes outdid last year and they will not do so hot this year. Josh, what do you think about our boys in purple?
Trash. No, hey. I have them getting one more win than you have. Mainly because I don't know how to predict the team. Last season they had a horseshoe dislodged so up their butthole that they had a trouble walking at times. As you could see on the defense. It has to dislodge at some point. Kirk won me over with the quarterback show. I think Kirk is the number one quarterback in the NFL, off the field. He is,
wow,
I think, the
number
Vikings
one, not even Minshew, dude.
Well, Minshew is number 0.1. He's
number
above
zero.
The
he's
bar.
The alpha and the omega. Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know how to predict the team. Obviously, the offense is solid. We'll see if Madison's the guy. He's not.
He's no Cook, I'll tell you that.
And so we'll see how that kind of impacts their play. If they bring in Kareem Hunt, if they don't, I don't know how they'd be able to afford it, because it sounds like they're, even though they don't have a whole lot of pieces, they're still kind of strapped for cash. Plus, they have to do Jefferson's deal.
Jefferson, Darisaw, Hawkinson.
Yeah, they don't have a defense at all. Harrison Smith is up there in age. They don't have.
Come on, dude. B-Flow's going to hold down the whole team. He's going to go out there and strap up himself. Daniil Hunter,
I was
going to
say, is he going to play corner? Or is Daniil going
to
play corner?
He might have.
If you want, you can get Joe Barry, because he puts DNs at corner.
Hang on a minute.
Or Mike Pettine does. Never mind. I have them going 10-7 just because I don't know how to predict the team, but they do have some cake. They do play, the Packers twice, so I had them splitting. They play Chicago twice. I think I had them beating Chicago twice. They're my power rank 13, so they're just in the playoffs as well. We'll see how it goes. Kind of all depends. It all rides on that defense and whether or not Justin Jefferson regresses.
He hasn't regressed yet. Knock on wood. He's had three solid
years.
I
did take him in the
you spent fucking $71 on him, dude, of a $200 budget? You were aggressive.
Yeah. Well, I only have $40 left after my third player.
All right, Josh. Who's next?
Moving on to the team in the Bayou, we've got the New Orleans Saints. I have them going 10-7, probably a little bit more. I think this is probably our second biggest difference. I think that the only reason I have them going 10-7 is because I made my predictions after listening to Pat and the boys talk about the preseason, where it looks like they were a bunch of dogs. Their defense is solid. I think that Jamal Williams is a solid running back, regardless of location. He proved it last year with all the tutters that he had in Detroit. With Kamara out the first few weeks, I think that they'll be a nice little complement to one another. They can both catch passes out of the backfield. They can both run the ball well. So Jamal's going to hold down the fort for the first few games while Kamara's out, and Kamara's going to come in with some fresh legs and hopefully take my dynasty team to another championship. 10-7, I feel like, is kind of their ceiling. But at the same time, I forget who's their quarterback. Is it still Jameis? It's Derek Carr now. That's right. So, Derek Carr is the Pro Bowl quarterback challenge MVP. So I think that he's going to be solid. It sounds like Michael Thomas is back. Who knows? Olave is solid. Juwan Johnson is a stud. I've been a fan of Juwan Johnson in New Orleans for a few years now. We'll see how this team does. But yeah, 10-7, just over their 9.5 prediction through CBS Gar. Tell me how I'm wrong.
I mean, I want to believe in this team, Josh. It's not that I'm a Nolan's hater. It's just one of those things where it's like, I don't, you know, teams aren't as much as fans, especially armchair GMs, like to think. Teams aren't as plug and play as everyone necessarily wants to think. Do I want to believe in New Orleans? Do I want to believe in Derek Carr individually? Do I want to believe in Kamara individually and Michael Thomas and Chris Olave and all, you know, Jamal Williams, all these other players? I would love to believe that you could just take a bunch of talent, throw it in a team, and be like, boom. We're a playoff team. I have them under the 9.5 line from CBS there. I have them only going 7-10. I do, funny enough, have them winning the NFC South. I have them in the playoffs winning their division at 7-10. So I do have them as a playoff team. I think their defense can do it, but can Carr, that's what's in my notes here, could be good, but I don't think so. I'm certainly allowing myself some margin. I would say the New Orleans Saints is probably one of my teams with the largest margin of error. You know, I'd say I feel pretty good about most of my predictions, probably within a game or two, you know, margin of error. I could be as much as 5 games wrong, you know, maybe not 5, maybe a 4-game swing either way on New Orleans here, but I just don't see it. It's one of those teams, again, there's, I want to believe in so many teams. The preseason is when all the hype is. Every team's supposed to be good. Every team is a potential contender. But when you're sitting there and predicting 272 games, in every game it's a zero sum. Either someone wins and someone loses, and I had the New Orleans Saints losing more than they won, and so as much as I would love to believe in them, as much as I would love the hype and all the individual players on the team, I just don't think they're doing it. I have them power rank 24, and like you said, this is our second difference of the day. So you had them at 15. I have them at 24. I'm not sure if they're a playoff team for you. It looks like they would be. But yeah, so we both have them as a playoff team. I just have them with 3 less wins. Moving on to the New York Giants, the New York Day Bulls, the team I called last year. Shout out to me. So for some reason, the CBS Vegas line is only at 7.5 wins. I don't know. That feels pretty disrespectful out of CBS or Vegas, considering what they did last year. Won a playoff game and everything. I have them going 11-6. I'm a big believer in Danny Dimes and Dable and Saquon. Saquon is back now. I love the Giants. Liked them last year. Love them this year. I think they showed the world last year, and they will continue to be a top team. And my notes are simple. I have them power rank 6, Josh. I think this New York Giants team is going to surprise a lot of people, even more so than they did last year already. I have the Giants being one of the top teams in the league this year. How do you feel about them?
I have them going 11-6 as well, so we're both pretty high on them. Saquon's back. Jalen Hyatt, the rookie, he looks like he's going to be a stud. They got Darren Waller, who seems to be doing solid. I said that fire hydrant-looking head coach has unlocked Eli Light. And so, you know, Danny Dimes showed that he could do it last year. He just needs to keep doing what he did last year, and he'll win games. 11-6, they're my power rank 8, so we both have them pretty high. CBS is apparently not too fond of that team. I don't know why. Maybe these numbers were put out at or before the Saquon deal got done, but I don't think it was. And so, yeah, we'll see what's going on there. But I don't know.
Does Eli Light imply at least one Super Bowl? Because to most people's surprise, Eli Manning won 2 Super Bowls. So does that mean Danny Dimes is capable of winning 1 Super Bowl with like a 9-8 record?
I mean, yeah, that's possible. I did more Eli Light because he only mouth breathes like 60% of the time as opposed to 99.
Okay, I see now. All right.
Yeah, I don't have them winning that division because that division is tough, but I do have them as a playoff team for sure. Moving on to the team that is winning that division, in my opinion, the team that was in the superb owl last year, the team led by the earring wearing running back, automatic quarterback sneak and first down touchdown and Jalen Hurts, the Philadelphia Eagles, 14-3 is my record for them. It's hard to find a weakness on that team. Their defense got better this offseason after being the #1 defense last year, I believe. They've got DeAndre Swift, who's solid for at least 6 games a season before he gets hurt. And then, you know, they've still got A.J. Brown. They've still got Dallas Goedert. They've got Devonta Smith. And so even if Swift gets hurt, they have Kenneth Gainwell. They've got Boston. I don't know who they have. Is Boston Scott still on that team?
Yep.
But they're my #1 power ranked team. Just hard to find weaknesses on that team. They're solid across the board. And they do play a couple cake teams in that division. As far as Tampa Bay and Washington goes. So
Tampa Bay is not in that division. Are you drunk?
That's right. You're right. I'm an idiot.
Washington, Dallas, and New York.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah. 14-3. You threw me off. Your turn, Gar.
I was just trying to make it so you didn't get made fun of for the bad take. But yeah, the CBS.
Nope, I made fun of myself.
The CBS line this year is at 11.5. You gave them 14. I'll also take the over just barely for half a win. I gave them 12-5. Usually Super Bowl losing teams, it's hard to get back. Obviously, the year before, the Super Bowl losing team was the Cincinnati Bengals, and they made it, all the way to the AFC Championship game. So I'm not saying the Philadelphia Eagles are falling off a cliff here. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to be quite as good maybe as last year. You know, teams have another year to study and to try and stop. You know, it's always a cat and mouse game here. So I have them going 12-5. That's still a very respectful record. They're winning their division. I think they will run it back and dominate again, but no bowl for them is exactly what my notes say. I have them power rank number 4. There's no chance I was going to give anyone but the Kansas City Chiefs the power rank 1 regardless of wins and losses. Usually I stick wins and losses and that's my strict power ranking, but I was like, sorry Eagles, there's no shot I'm giving you power rank 1 with the Kansas City Chiefs existing. And I gave them power ranking 4 is how everything shake out. So one of the best teams in the league, the second best team in the NFC for me, and we'll talk about the best team in just a moment here, but yeah, I think the Eagles are a really good team, a really exciting team, great offense, great defense, but not a Super Bowl this year. And so, you know, if you're not going to win the Super Bowl, what's the point? But Eagles should be a great team this year. Moving on to the team that surprised many people, if not the whole league last year, the Seattle Seahawks. CBS has the line at 8.5. I have the under just barely. I have them going 8-9. I think they will again win some games, but not enough. Carol Dunsoon. People don't realize this, I think, some of the times, but that gum-chomping maniac, that man is like 70-something. And so I could see if Seattle kind of has a rough year, maybe a rough 2 years, I think Carol's done soon. Similar to the other NFC West team, the Los Angeles Rams, I think maybe Pete Carroll is going to start going on a retirement tour. Maybe not necessarily this year, but maybe next year if they struggle again, because I don't have them going to the playoffs. Geno Smith surprised a lot of people. I want to give Geno Smith all the credit in the world. That man, people wrote him off and he did not write back, but I don't have them being a playoff team. I don't have them doing anything special, so I'm sorry, Seattle. What you did last year was amazing. I think you'll continue to win games this year, but not enough to be in the playoffs, and certainly not enough to win playoff games. I have them power rank 20. Josh, what do you have the Seattle Gum Chompers doing this year?
I have them going, this is another one that we kind of set that spread at. I had them going 9-8, power rank 18. Geno's got the talent around him. If you can repeat last season, whether or not he chose not to write back or if he just forgot how to write, that's kind of the big question is, you know, did he have a horseshoe lodged in his under Uzi the entire season, or was that kind of what he needed to unlock? They've got solid running backs with Kenneth Walker, who has a big play capability, and then they brought in Zach Charbonnet, who's a solid all-around running back. They've got JSN, and they've got DK and Lockett. So, I mean, their offense is stacked. They were the number one offense last year, I believe. So it's not that difficult to see them putting up another performance with the pieces that Geno has around them. But their defense is a question mark, I believe. They're no longer the Legion of Boom. And so they've got a very tough division when they play San Fran, but you know, Arizona's trash and the Rams, I believe, they might be able to surprise them once, but their schedule is a little bit tougher because of their season last year. So they're my power rank 18, as I said, 9-8. Moving on to the team in that division that I think is going to win. I have the San Francisco Niners going 12-5. Even though he was a backup and they just got rid of him, I might have to change it to 17-0 because they no longer have Trey Lance. But I'm leading that Purdy parade. I've been leading it since last year. I thought I thought he looked like a stud. It's a great story. Mr. Irrelevant becoming Mr. Relevant. It sounds like he's back. Their defense is solid. They've got, you know, CMC now. They've got Debo. They've got Kittle. They've got Ayuk. It's a very solid team. Their run game's special. They're my power rank 4 with their 12-1 season. Gar, what do you got?
Well, the CBS Vegas line's at 10.5. Both of you and I think that's insultingly low. I'm giving them 13-4. This is actually my team with the best record that I predicted this year. Couldn't give them power rank 1. I gave them power rank 2 because no team's going to be power ranked more than Andy Reid and the Patrick Mahomes. But I have them with the best record in football. And I wrote down with any QB consistency, they should dominate the league. And a little bit spoiler, we'll talk about it in just a moment. But they are my Super Bowl winner this year only because I think I have a couple fluke losses in the AFC just for a little flavor. So the Kansas City doesn't make it that far, but they're my Super Bowl winner, San Francisco Niners. I'm certainly not leading the Purdy Parade. I'm probably not even in the Purdy Parade. I don't think I care that much. I think we're proving here that, you know, Shanahan is proving that he can pretty much put anyone in his offense and succeed. It'd be crazy to see what someone like Kirk or one of these, you know, much more average, or even like an Andy Dalton, what they could do in this offense. I'm not trying to insult Brock Purdy. He clearly has talent. He clearly is capable of winning games the same way Jimmy G was, but I'm not as high on Purdy. I think that's going to be more of maybe a Nick Mullins fluke type deal in the end. But I could be wrong. I still have them winning 13 games, not because of Purdy, maybe in spite of Purdy or despite Purdy, but I have them winning the Super Bowl, so I'm not hating by any means. I just want to show that distinction. I'm not the Purdy believer that Josh is, but best team in the league from a wins and loss regular season perspective from me. Moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Baconeers, I guess. Baconeers? Anyways, I have them going 5-12. The CBS line is at 6.5, so I'm taking the under there. I wrote down they should just tank at this point and get the QB of the future. Nothing good this year. That's not an insult for Baker. He needs that starting potential for him to maybe go on to be a journeyman like Ryan Fitzpatrick, or for him to find his next home like Geno did. But I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to do anything this year, and I think they should be tanking to rebuild that team in the wake of Brady. But yeah, nothing special from the Buccaneers this year. I have them going 5-12. They're power rank number 30, so third to worst team for me. Josh, what do you feel about the Buccaneers?
My computer went silent there for okay. I had them actually going worse than you did. I actually don't think that Baker's going to be that bad. It's just kind of, they got an aging offense around them. Their defense struggled last year. It's kind of a similar story to the Rams, where they went all in, they got their bowl, and now they're just kind of sitting there. I have them going 3-14. My only note for them was slide whistle. Just kind of, you know.
Can I find what
they're
talking.
My power rank 31. Yeah. They're my power rank 31. I don't see them being anything special. And so, you know, they've, yeah, sorry guys, but, and I'd love for Baker to be great. He's my dynasty. He's one of my super flex quarterbacks, because why not? But yeah, 3-14, we're both under the CBS line. And so, yeah, moving on to another team. Oh, wow. Was that Tampa Bay's opening game?
That was it.
Moving on to another team, Washington. This is a team that we agree on. I have them going 4-13. New ownership, new environment, not new team. So CBS has them at 6.5 wins. I have them 4-13. They're going to have the fans are going to be commanding a new team after this year. Apparently we can say the team that they were two iterations ago, but I refuse to say it just in case we can't. And so I have them power rank 30, not the worst team in the league, but not the best, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. I also have them going 4-13, like you alluded to. I have them as the worst team in the league, unfortunately. And this is not a shot at Riverboat Ron. I love me some Ron Rivera. I love the man he is. I love his story. Unfortunately, this team's just going to tank. I mean, I do think there is some potential excitement with Sam Howell. Sam Howell, from all appearances at the end of last year and this preseason, he seems like he's going to be a gunslinger, perhaps similar to someone we no longer talk about on this podcast, but he's going to throw maybe some really exciting touchdowns, some really exciting plays. And usually with the gunslinger, there's also, because not most gunslingers aren't Rodgers and they don't have that pristine accuracy, there's probably also going to be plenty of picks. So I think this will be a streaky team, a team that maybe gives the games away and beats themselves more than anything. But I do agree with new ownership, new everything else. This team will be overhauled greatly in the next upcoming offseason. So Riverboat Ron, I think, is just holding it down. And he's not tanking on purpose. You know, Ron Rivera would never tank, but I think he's just there to hold this team down for the big turnover next year. I have them power rank 32, last in the league. Josh, did you perhaps take the time between last week and this week to make yourself a little playoff thing or no? Otherwise, I'll just sort by your wins here. But while you figure that out, I'll go through my NFC playoff teams because I have it all worked out because I love doing that each year. In the first seed, I have the San Francisco 49ers going 13-4. In the second seed, Philadelphia Eagles 12-5. In the third seed, winning the North, I have the Detroit Lions at 10-7. In the fourth seed, I have the 7-10 New Orleans Saints. They won the South. That's the only reason they're in the playoffs. In the first wild card spot, I have the New York Giants. I believe I had them at 11-6. And then in the sixth seed, the second wild card, we have three playoff teams from the NFC East. We have the Dallas Cowboys at 9-8. And then in the seventh seed, only because I didn't have another NFC team at 9-8, otherwise I would give the tiebreak to someone else. I have the Minnesota Vikings squeaking into the playoff in the seventh seed. We're probably better off not going into the playoffs, but I have the Vikings in the seventh seed, taking up that last wild card spot at 9-8. Josh, roughly, without having to be too accurate, what do you have for your playoff teams in the NFC this year?
Well, my division winners, Philadelphia, San Fran, Detroit, and Nolens. All with 10 plus win seasons. Then in the wild card, we've got the Giants, Minnesota, and Seattle. Because, yeah, they'll have the tiebreaker over the painful backers. I think that those are, I think that's going to be the case. I'm going to say that San Fran's going to make it to the bowl. Whether or not they can beat the Kansas City Reeds, who knows? But those are going to be my seven playoff teams. And that is how the cookie crumbles.
That's it, Josh. We did it. Just to be clear, I also have the San Francisco Niners in the playoffs. I have some fluke losses in the AFC playoffs, like I said. So I have a Miami-San Fran Super Bowl with San Fran winning it. That's obviously not probably going to be the Super Bowl, but sometimes the take's got to be spicy. But we both agree on San Fran should make it to the bowl. I'd like to see them do their thing this year. But Josh, we predicted all 272 games. I'm shocked I don't have a round of applause button here. That's actually really disappointing for me.
We did it.
I mean, this is close enough, right? That makes Josh feel good. Oh, no, here it is. That's close enough. We did it, Josh. All 272 games and the playoffs to boot. Our Super Bowl prediction winner. Whew. Is this an exercise that's worth it for you, Josh? Do you enjoy doing this every year? I think I do. Obviously, it's a bit of a task to sit there and stare at a spreadsheet for hours and predict that many games. But do you still enjoy doing this, or how do you feel about it?
I love it.
You could be honest, Josh.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's all right.
All right. Well, sweet. We appreciate the people who listened. I know Walters and Eric's have listened to both episodes at this point. For the other people who will end up listening to this one later, we appreciate you. We also did the AFC. If you haven't listened to that, you can go back to our last episode from this one and listen to our AFC predictions as well. Next week, Josh and I will be coming at you with our Hood Draft Grades podcast. We have our Hood Draft later today at 4 p.m. in about, what is that, 7 hours from now? So we will have our Hood Draft Grades next week. If you would like to help grade our draft, I can submit a spreadsheet to you. If you'd like to give a rundown of the teams, Walters, I believe you enjoy doing that. Eric's, you definitely don't have to, but just for people who are bored out there, I'm definitely not saying anyone needs to grade our draft, but but for people who like the exercise and to like to see how drafts break out for your kind of your own knowledge, I know I enjoy doing that when I get the opportunity. So anyone who would like to grade our draft, let me know and I can send you a spreadsheet after the draft is done later today. And we will be talking about that next week. And the NFL season is just 2 weeks away, Josh. I believe we are 12 days from the kickoff game, which is Kansas City and the Lions. That's insane. But we'll talk about that more in the next couple shows. Josh, I love you. Walters and Eric's, I love you for listening live. We greatly appreciate it. And Josh, go ahead and hit that Go Packers, and we will get the F out of here.
Go Packers. We'll be right back.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?